WTAW News Time is 4 minutes after 8. It is 39 degrees. We'll take a look at your forecast after the news. Good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Chelsea Reber. A Pennsylvania-based manufacturer is building a second location in Bryan. Saint-Gobain, which operates a ceramics plant, will build a $140 million roofing materials plant and distribution center for its CertainTeed subsidiary.
The sister company here, it helped us in positioning us in a good spot to get the sister company here.
The City of Bryan's Economic Development Director, Kevin Russell, said Bryan ISD's Career and Technology Center also played a role.
They also understand that the school district will help in training folks for the type of equipment that they'll be using in their facility.
BISD also played a financial role, giving what CertainTeed described as millions of dollars of property tax savings. The exact amount has not been disclosed. WTAW News is waiting for BISD to respond to an open records request that was made before the holiday break. Incentives also included giving 211 acres of free land in North Bryan, located west of Axis Pipe and Tube off Highway 6. CertainTeed is also getting a railroad easement valued at more than $7 million, around $3 million in industrial infrastructure, and $546,000 from the Texas Enterprise Fund. 2 weeks since two local law enforcement officers were shot, the Bryan man accused in both shootings is in the Brazos County Jail. It's the 23rd booking in 22 years for 44-year-old Joshua Heron. He was hospitalized following a shootout in Benchley on December 30th. Heron is also held on bonds totaling almost $3 million on charges from Brazos and Robertson counties that are associated with the shootings of a Bryan police officer and a Brazos County sheriff's deputy. The College Station City Council has adopted its platform for the new legislative session, but last night's vote was not unanimous. Bob Yancey disagreed with two positions: to oppose a revenue and or tax cap of any type, and legislation that would negatively expand appraisal caps.
Relative to property tax relief and appraisal relief, people need this right now. I know if I were in the State House, I would be working towards property tax relief, and I would be working towards an appraisal process that made sense.
Yancey was among council members who tweaked a third position, asking state lawmakers to change the process of establishing property values, in particular commercial buildings that are vacant. There is another attempt to allow state lawmakers to take action on non-emergency items starting the first day of the session. State law currently requires the legislature to wait 60 days before taking action.
I think it's crazy. It just doesn't make any sense.
Representative John Rainey of Bryan filed House Joint Resolution 75, which is a constitutional amendment that, if approved by voters, would lift the 60-day ban.
I had 66 signatures, co-authors last time, and it takes 100. So if I can get close to 100 co-signs, maybe we can get it done.
HJR 75 would require committee assignments to be made by the first day of the session. And in December, there would be organizational meetings to swear in lawmakers, elect officers, and adopt rules. The City of College Station has forwarded a traffic alert from the TxDOT Bryan District Office. Luther Street will be blocked west of Harvey Mitchell Parkway starting this evening at 6. The intersection is scheduled to reopen Monday at 5 a.m. This is part of the ongoing widening of FM 2018. WTAW News Time is 7 minutes after 8. It's 39 degrees. We'll have more news at 8:30, or you can always go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber for 1620-94.5 WTAW.
Infomaniacs on a Friday morning when the WC Tractor Studio, your local award-winning Kubota, New Holland dealer in Bryan and Navasota. Weather brought to you by United Roofing and Sheet Metal, home of the Duralast Roof System, world's best roof. Give them a call at 268-ROOF. Go to UnitedRoofingPros.com today.
Plenty of sunshine across the region today. High temperatures will top out in the upper 50s. Clear skies tonight, low 35 to 40. More sunshine on Saturday, a little milder, high in the lower to middle 60s. Clear to partly cloudy Saturday night, lows only drop to the upper 40s. And intervals of sunshine and clouds on Sunday, it'll be breezy. High temperatures will get up into the middle 70s. I'm meteorologist Scott Kaplan, 1620-94.5 WTAW.
Hey, there you go. It's we're giving away some Cooper's Old Time Pit Barbecue here in about half an hour or so. If you've got something that you're superstitious about, because today is Friday the 13th. Oh, my God, you already got in the car. It's 10 after 8. You didn't even know. I know.
So someone texted in, whenever I'm fishing, there cannot be a banana in the boat.
What?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yep. Somebody else said picking up a coin on tails.
Ah.
I did that yesterday.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I was getting change back at the grocery store. I did not pay with cash. There was an issue with one of my coupons, and so they ended up giving me money
in
cash.
Nice.
Yeah, and one of the coins dropped, and it landed on tails, but I picked it up because it was my money.
Tails never fails. That's what I always say.
I've never heard that.
Really?
I have not. Like, if I knew it, I've forgotten it. I'll put it that way.
Oh, yeah. No, the whole, like, with a see a penny with the heads up.
Well,
yeah, I don't know.
No, I see a penny, pick it up all day long, you'll have good luck.
Yeah, that's true. I guess it's a penny in general.
Yeah, about heads or tails. Yeah.
Somebody else just said lying in general is their superstition because if they lie, it comes true.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Somebody else texted in tying my left shoe first.
Huh.
So
okay.
they always have to tie their okay. right shoe first.
Okay.
And then finally, someone said the number 666 they are superstitious about. So, yeah, let us know what your superstition is. Or if you don't have any, that's fine, too. You can let us know. But we do need your first and last name if you want to win. 979-695-1620.
So we started the show with the story of a lady who lives up in Oregon, I think. And she had her luggage had been lost for 4 years, and she's finally
And it was
it
in
back.
Honduras, which she did not go to.
An airline in Brazil, Bolivia. An airline in Bolivia has enlisted what they call an interspecies communicator to track down a lost cat after the passenger's pet went missing in transit.
Interspecies
communicator. It's a fancy name for a way of saying an animal psychic.
Animal handler.
Yes.
Cat whisperer.
Psychic.
Oh, psychic. Oh, dear.
So,
okay.
Going to link up telepathically, I guess?
I guess. I don't know. The cat's been missing for over a week. The animal psychic sense that the cat named Tito is still alive.
So. I think if I was... I don't know. Lost luggage. Yeah, I think I would probably try to put an air tag on my animal just in case.
Well, yeah, I'd think
it's
so.
Bolivia.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So tonight on television, the season premiere of Hunters. This is the final season. This is the story of looking for Adolf Hitler, who they believe was hiding in South America.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So there is a very large German influence in South America, and I got to looking into it a little bit, and I think it's in Chile, maybe? There's a town, and it looks like you just stepped in to a Bavarian town.
Like, oh, interesting.
Literally everything
that's
there, and I can't remember the name of it, but the saying goes, and they actually did find some old Nazi escapees, I guess.
Sure.
That ended up escaping to South America through Spain.
I knew that. I knew that there were a lot that fled to South America.
Yeah.
That's so there's a TV show on it. Season premiere of something called Servant. This is M. Night Shyamalan, psychological thriller.
Okay.
He's doing a TV show?
Yeah. You know, he started out okay, but he has fallen far and fast.
Lost it after the Sixth Sense.
I got no reason I want to watch it anymore. Yeah, he started pretty well. Oh, look, in case you've missed it, CBS wants you to be sure to know at 7 o'clock on Saturday, they're going to show Harry the Interview.
Oh, okay.
Man, that
ought
to be.
He is all over the place.
Oh, this ought to be great.
All over the place.
He's living a quiet and private life.
Oh, I really want to see this. I tell you, this would be
sure
great.
Apparently his book has sold quite well.
That's fine. That's great. Sunday is the 28th annual Critics' Choice Awards. It's, that time of year. And then... this is interesting, and I wonder how this is going to play out. Sunday is the premiere, and they've pushed it really hard on Paramount Plus, of Mayor of Kingstown. That's Jeremy Renner.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
do you think it'll do better because he's been injured?
Well, I don't
injured?
Know. I guess they finished shooting the entire season?
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. Usually once the premiere is coming out, it's been wrapped.
Right.
So I don't know if Taylor Sheridan just signed a strict non-compete to just
Paramount.
Do stuff for Paramount, but everything that's come out is Taylor Sheridan-esque. Including this, and Kyle Chandler's also in it.
Oh, yeah, he is.
And it's about two brothers that I guess run a prison?
Yeah, a crime drama about America's prison system.
Yeah.
So it follows the McLusky family in Kingstown, Michigan, where the business of incarceration is the only thriving industry. The family of power brokers between police, criminals, inmates, prison guards, and politicians tackle themes of systemic racism, corruption, and inequality.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. If you guys care, I've got an article I can send you. It's a long article. I've read it because I'm old. I've got time to do it.
I was
going to
say, right. Probably not.
Yeah, really.
What was it about?
It's about Tyler Sheridan.
Oh, okay.
Taylor
Sheridan, yeah.
And the whole this whole thing that he has put together a stable of shows.
Yeah.
And he's from Texas.
Right.
And tells the story about how he was able to get Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren to come onto this new show.
1923.
Right. What had happened is they apparently gave up the rights to his original show, and that ended up being on one of the cable streaming channels, and it was a big hit. And then he realized, well, I can't get that money back, but I can build prequels and I can build other spinoffs off of that. I can produce those. And so as a result, I mean, they go in and they are shooting several shows within his stable, all in these same studios in the same place. They shoot in Montana. They shoot in California. He's got writers who know exactly what he wants, scene producers who know exactly what he wants. I mean, he is a machine. And it's really kind of a fascinating thing.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was an actor, too.
Yeah. He was in Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
Right. He's been in a couple other things.
Oh, Veronica Mars as well.
And he gave that a go, the whole acting bit, and decided that, hey, I want to be a writer. He's really an interesting guy. Owns a ranch up in Weatherford.
Right.
Where
He
has basic, like, world-famous horses is what he does. It's a horse ranch. And I think I've mentioned on the show before, but he's originally from Cranfield's Gap, which is west of Waco, where my brother-in-law lives. It's a really interesting guy. He's written several movies too, like Sicario, which was a big one. He's also had Wind River. Which was with Jeremy Renner, was a really good movie.
But he brought, like, Harrison Ford, he flew him to his ranch in Weatherford and just had him hang out with him for a little while.
Yeah.
And it was then that he pitched this story to him. He says, I want to write this for you. And what Harrison Ford said is, hey, this is a going machine. I mean, it's working. All I need to do is step into it. Just don't screw it up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's making money.
And I don't know if a lot of people realize, but Ford got his start in Westerns. He was in many episodes of Gunsmoke.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he did that kind of stuff. So anyway, it's a cottage industry, that's for sure. If you think there are a lot of new, originally scripted TV shows, you're right. 599. That's a bunch. I mean, almost 600 adult scripted original series are being broadcast right now on broadcast, cable, and streaming services. That is a new record, obviously. There's a lot of product out there, so if you want to watch it.
Yeah.
One of the things that people are watching, I know you're jazzed about this, Chelsea, is Formula One.
This
thing returns on Feb 24.
It comes back in February, the new season, but the creators have now started following the PGA Tour.
Ah!
And they are doing and that one releases also in February, I think actually a couple days early, and it is called Full Swing. And I saw the trailer just drop this week, and it looks really, really good.
One of the things that Formula, this is, what the,
if you're a golf fan.
Right. Well, the Drive to Survive thing is interesting because it's gotten people interested who would have never known that Formula One exists.
Right. And I'm wondering if this Full Swing doc could do the same for golf. You know what I mean? Now, I'm going to watch it because, I love the F1 series. And so if it's kind of got the same vibe, then because it's so much more about just the sport. Like, it's about the drama behind it. And obviously the PGA Tour is a little bit the same where there's only a select few that are playing at that level.
Right.
I mean, more than Formula One for sure. But it's got kind of the same like competition sense. But obviously there's the drama. And then because they started just following them recently, you've got the whole Live Tour.
That's I was thinking.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot to cover. It says, and so with the Full Swing, the series follows Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Brooks Koepka, Scottie Scheffler, Ian Poulter, which should be interesting, Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Tony Finau, Matt Fitzpatrick, let's see, and there's a few more that I don't necessarily recognize, but yeah, there's a few of them. So kind of the same thing. You can't do everybody, but you're going to follow the top ones.
Right. Now, Brooks is with Liv, right?
I guess, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, he's with Liv now. So interesting to see how that whole dynamic goes.
And literally a quote that in the trailer is from Ian Poulter. He goes, "You sure chose an interesting season to start following the PGA Tour."
Well, that's true. Now, what's interesting is, you know, these golf stars have been interviewed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What Formula One did was introduced Americans to people they'd never heard of.
Absolutely.
Before.
Yeah.
And as a result, because I think they drive in Austin and Miami, and that's the only place, at least right
well,
now.
Well, and Austin was the only place when they first started.
Exactly.
Miami just got introduced last year, and they're going to come to Vegas, I think, this year. I think it's November 2023.
Okay. Well, Netflix has released a teaser for the latest episodes, and the clips focus on the major rule changes in F1 that were brought in the 2022 season, the potential impact of the regulations. It's interesting because, again, it'll debut Feb 24.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty smart timing since the 3-day preseason test for this year's F1 calendar will be taking place that weekend. So
gotcha. Yeah, and they always, you know, it's kind of been, I think the timing has been like that because they obviously follow them during the season. They're probably editing and you know, making episodes and whatnot throughout the season. And then you start watching while the new season is going on. But it's definitely gotten a lot of people more interested in something they didn't know about. I didn't.
Yeah. Hey, I'm pretty jazzed about this because I did like this. Netflix has unveiled a release date for Luther, the Fallen Son. I don't know if you guys... this is Idris Elba.
Oh, and, okay.
Yeah, I never watched it.
Pretty dark, a little dark. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, they call it a psychological crime thriller.
Okay.
But did it. Then he got famous and got busy and got rich and really had other things that he needed to be doing rather than that. And, you know, they talked about him maybe becoming the first black James Bond, that kind of stuff.
Did he do it before or after The Wire?
Before.
Okay.
No. I'm sorry. It's after.
Okay.
It was after. Because that's how I knew him. Jackie hadn't seen The Wire, so she didn't know. But this has been a pretty good brand for him, so they're going to bring that back,
okay,
and that'll be happening. So there you
go. I finished my Banshees movie.
Oh, did you?
The last 20 minutes I needed to wrap up yesterday.
Were you glad you took that time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't have wanted to leave just 20 minutes. If I had stopped halfway through, maybe I wouldn't have gone back, but I just needed to wrap it up. So.
I'm assuming you had to watch with closed captioning.
Definitely. So which I had started from the beginning because you wouldn't have no idea what any of their names were if you didn't have closed captioning.
Boy, they got funny spelled names.
Oh,
they?
Yeah. Like the main character, his name is Parik, but if you look at it, it's like P-A-D-R-A-I-C.
Right. Where'd the D go?
Yeah, there is no D.
Yeah, right. So now, is there a chance for a sequel?
Actually, yeah, they probably could do one.
1620-945 WTAW, the Infomaniac. See if we can talk to our winner today of the Cooper's Old Time Pit Barbecue. 826. Maybe they're already at work. I can't answer.
This is Ken.
Hey, Ken, it's Scott.
And Chelsea.
And Zach.
Infomaniacs.
Hey, Ken.
Ken's a winner today.
Big winner.
Congratulations. Right. Your superstition was?
Okay, if you're fishing, there cannot be a banana on the boat or else you're not going to catch any fish.
All right. I got to know how. Where did this come from?
I don't know. It's a common superstition among fishermen.
I will say
saltwater fishermen.
Okay, I will say Clip Howard texted in and said that was something he knew about.
Yes, it is.
Well, so all right, so now we're going to have to go do the research on it. Is that it? So that we can find out what
sure,
this is all about.
Go ahead.
All right, so but did this ever happen to you when you guys were out fishing and then suddenly you found out, "Oh damn, somebody's put a banana in the boat."
Actually, no, it hasn't happened to us, but I've heard it from other people that they've not caught fish and somebody, you know, they looked through and somebody brought a banana for a snack. And so they threw it overboard, moved, and they started catching fish.
Ah, so that's it. Mm-hmm. So throw it overboard. So littering into the ocean. We understand that. All right. Hey, Ken,
it's natural.
Sure. That's
you just
right.
Got to take the sticker off.
There are any number of banana eating fish out there. We just don't know what their names are. Hey, I got Cooper's Old Time Pit Barbecue for you. Come by and we got it for you. The top of the Guarantee Bank building, okay?
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Ken.
Sorry,
thanks,
see you
Ken.
Later. All right, there you go.
Huh.
Yeah, I looked it up, and it said, you know, one theory originates with speedy boats transporting bananas. Since they spoil quickly, boats trafficking bananas were rushed through waters, giving anglers on board little chance to catch fish. This fast pace kept anglers from catching much of anything while trolling, and bananas were directly blamed when they were indirectly the problem.
Wow.
Now, some anglers will go as far as having no remnants of a banana on the fishing boat. That includes banana boat sunscreen.
Oh, mm-hmm. Nothing to do with bananas.
Nothing.
Yes, you want to weigh in?
So I fished with a guy for a long, long time. He had been fishing in the Keys for 50 years out of Miami. Captain Bouncer Smith. And went with him one day, and we weren't catching anything. And I pulled out that banana lip balm to put on my lips.
Okay.
He ripped that thing off out of my hand and threw it overboard.
Wow.
That is littering.
Bouncer was highly suspicious as a fisherman, an unbelievable fisherman. And he'd ask every time, even though I'd fish with him forever, you guys didn't bring any bananas, did you? Nope, nope, we don't have any bananas, Bouncer.
How did you ever end up with this banana product if it's supposed to be so injurious to fishing?
Well, I at the time, I hadn't thought about it. It was just lip balm that I'd always carry. And I didn't think of it being the banana flavored or whatever it is, lip balm, you know. So it went overboard in a hurry.
I have concerns about you liking banana flavored lip balm, but aside from that, thank you for the background this morning.
Yep.
That's Clip Howard.
WTAW News Time is 8:31. It's 39 degrees. This look of news is brought to you by Rooster's Bike and Coffee Shop, home of the lifetime free tune-up in front of Hurricane Harry's on College Avenue. Good morning, I'm Chelsea Reber. College Station police are looking for those involved in a shooting last night at the Pearl Apartments on Harvey Road near George Bush East. One person was taken to the hospital. The victim's condition was not released. Anyone with information is asked to call CSPD. The Bryan man accused in shooting two local law enforcement officers is now in jail. 44-year-old Joshua Heron spent 2 weeks in the hospital following a shootout in Benchley. Heron is held in lieu of bonds totaling almost $3 million. As previously reported, the Brazos County District Attorney's Office will prosecute charges related to the shooting of a Bryan police officer in Bryan and will act as a special prosecutor in the Robertson County case of the shooting of a Brazos County sheriff's deputy. A student at College Station High School is in the Brazos County Jail on two assault charges that happened during school on Wednesday. 17-year-old DeAmbria Cyrus was arrested by a Brazos County deputy sheriff who was working as a school resource deputy. Cyrus is accused of slapping, then hitting a teacher in the face, resulting in the teacher going to the hospital for treatment of those injuries. According to the arrest report, the teacher was struck while attempting to separate Cyrus from another student who Cyrus punched in the forehead. Cyrus, who was charged with assaulting the teacher and assault causing bodily injury, is held in lieu of bonds totaling $14,000. Legislative positions of the College Station City Council were adopted last night with a compromise to one staff recommendation. Currently, appraised values of vacant commercial buildings are less than when the building is being used. The original staff recommendation is that regardless of whether the building is being used or not, the value should be the same. Councilwoman Elizabeth Kunha agreed with the original recommendation and pointed out two former store buildings that should pay the same property taxes as stores that have the lights on.
If they don't, then they need to put something in there to raise that revenue, or they need to move it. But to let it sit idle and then tell me that they want to pay less property tax because they want it to sit idle, when idle is a choice and we have to drive by and look at it every day as an eyesore, I'm not for financing eyesores.
A modification was first brought up by Councilman Bob Yancey.
There might be elements of the dark store valuation method that make sense. There's elements of the lighted store valuation method that make sense. Why do we have to be 100% against one that might have merit?
The council unanimously agreed to language that, quote, reflects a more accurate calculation of property appraisal values. Another attempt is being made by a state lawmaker from Brazos County to lift the 60-day ban on taking action on non-emergency items. House Joint Resolution 75, filed by Representative John Rainey of Bryan, would send to voters a constitutional amendment to allow action on the session's first day.
We waste about 60 days of the session, and we only have that short period of time, 140 days, to do it.
After getting 66 supporters 2 years ago, Rainey plans to meet with the House Speaker in his attempt to get a minimum of 100.
If I can get some support from leadership, I think we can get it done.
The resolution would also require a meeting in December to swear in lawmakers, elect officers, and adopt rules, and committee assignments would have to be made by the first day of the session. Brazos County's new congressman weighs in on the recent federal proposal to ban gas stoves. Michael McCall says this is just another example of how the Biden administration doesn't know what they're doing when it comes to fossil fuels.
Families today are paying 35% more to heat their homes compared to just 2 years ago.
The head of the Consumer Product Safety Commission released a statement saying in part a ban is not coming and that they're looking to improve indoor air quality. The business park in North Bryan that is home to Kristen Distributing and a Federal Express facility that is under construction will be home to a manufacturer of roofing materials. A $140 million investment by CertainTeed also includes a distribution center. CertainTeed's parent company, Sangoban, operates a ceramics plant in Bryan. The City of Bryan's Economic Development Director, Kevin Russell, says 130 jobs will be created that will pay at least 10% above the Brazos County average.
They look here
because there's so much building going on in the south and southeast of the United States. So they feel like this is a perfect spot for them to be able to manufacture and distribute their product to other states.
Russell says 211 acres of free land was the major incentive.
St. Gobain will have to install about $12 million worth of rail to get to their site, which is about what the value of the property might be.
Incentives also include a zero-cost rail investment that is valued at more than $7 million, industrial infrastructure valued at approximately $3 million, and what is described as millions of dollars of property tax savings from Bryan ISD. WTW News is waiting for a response to an open records request to BISD that was sent before the holiday break, asking how much valuation the district is giving up. WTAW News time is 8:36. It's 39 degrees. This look at news is brought to you by Rooster's Bike and Coffee Shop. I'm Chelsea Reber for 1620-945 WTAW.
Hey, good morning. It's 8:37. It's the Infomaniacs on a Friday morning. Let's have a look at the weather. It's brought to you by United Roofing and Sheet Metal, home of the Duralast Roof System, world's best roof. Call at 268-ROOF or go to unitedroofingpros.com today.
We're starting off the weekend right with mostly sunny skies today. Highs right up around 59. We'll remain clear throughout the evening and nighttime hours with overnight lows down to 37, and then more sunshine on the way for Saturday, mostly sunny skies, highs 263. Clear to partly cloudy overnight Saturday night, down to 48, and for Sunday, a mix of sun and clouds, breezy and warmer with highs at 74. I'm meteorologist Heidi Ankeles for 1620 and 94.5 WTAW.
Is Heidi new? Have we heard her before?
I've heard her before.
Okay, got it. I don't listen to the station much.
I think they only have like the one female meteorologist, I'm pretty sure. I think it's her.
Yeah, no, I've heard Heidi.
Way to go, Heidi. Okay, that's cool. All right, it's Friday. Time to talk to the folks at City College Station. Colin Killian's here. How are you today?
Doing great, Scott. Thank you.
Wonderful. You brought a guest.
We are pleased to present to you our city manager, Brian Woods.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
He's been here before. Yeah, doing well. How many drone flights have we had? Do you have any idea?
Oh, I don't know. I've seen some of them.
Have
personally.
You?
Yep.
Wow.
I've seen them in different spots and over my neighborhood and attempted to video them or take pictures, but I'm not sure how many we've had, but they are happening.
Okay. Because we were talking about tomorrow, I think, is Go Fly a Kite Day, and then we talked about Frisbee Golf earlier this morning, and, you know, the wind has something to do with it, and I guess that's, you know, those kind of things have to be taken into account, too.
Yeah, when Amazon, you know, talked about coming here, one of the things they talked about was the atmospheric conditions, and just from a standpoint of, you know, how often they can fly them and what conditions. So, I don't know the upper and lower limits of that, their kind of parameters, but I know that's a part of it.
So now with that happening, and this is, and again, I know you were really jazzed about having this be one of the test sites and where it happens. I'm reading where Walmart has been doing this for a while, too. Don't know. I guess they don't have to get your permission as a city. It's just the FAA who has to approve this from now on.
Yeah, so it depends, obviously, on a lot of things. But from a city perspective, what we control is the use on the ground.
Yeah.
And that was a big part of the Amazon piece, is that we don't play into the FAA regulation part, other than just providing comments, or the general public providing comments, which all of these drone operators go through that process. So, yes, if Walmart wanted to come in, and my understanding is the way they're zoned and through their operation, they could run drones here.
Sure. So, you got a new council.
We do.
Lots of new faces out there.
We have a new council, and which is always exciting, I think, for everybody. And we had a meeting last night, and we're done before 9 o'clock. I'm
you like that?
I hope that's the trend we're going on. If we can, of course. I always say people mess with us about that, and I get it. And when nobody wants to be there any longer than they need to be, but also, I do appreciate with our council that I feel like people get an opportunity to really discuss and talk about the things that we're doing. And, they do that twice a month, and they get an opportunity to really speak to each other. So I think it's good, and I'm excited. I always like when you have a new council, and especially the way it is now, where we've got a mix of experienced council members who bring a really important aspect to it. And then also you've got, people looking at it from a new perspective. And
well, what kind of projects or issues do you see that are carrying over?
Well, I mean, I think, I know you talked with Mayor Nichols earlier this week, and we'll talk a lot about that when we do our strategic planning coming up. And it's always budget season. I say people talk about it's budget season. For us, it always is. You're either planning it, passing it, or implementing it. And so we're always looking at you know, what did we plan and is it going the way we want to? And especially over the last few years where just the environment economically and in the world has been so different from one point when you plan something to the other. I think it's looking through and saying, okay, where are we? Where do we look at, you know, what do we look like financially moving forward? And then the biggest one to me is the word strategic gets thrown around all the time, but it's so vitally important. I mean, I think one of the things that as a governmental entity we do is try and provide that stability, and we do it through strategy. So it's going to be really interesting to me to hear again from our existing council members who have some background and served on a different council, and also the new ones, to see where do they see the city going, and also, you know, what is it going to take to do that, and do we think we're going to be able to do it?
Sure. Well, the economy is important. At the end of the day, College Station is employer as well. So tell me what kind of challenges you're facing right now as far as retention and replacement.
I mean, it's a challenge, I think, even against, you know, if you look across all sectors, it's a challenge, hiring and retention. And I know, you know, obviously, I think we face a unique challenge because we're tax funded. And when you look at any time when the economy suffers, or you see, you know, last year, 10% inflation that our citizens and folks are having to pay across the board. So I think the initial reaction and our reaction as public servants is, well, how do we try and lessen that? The challenge is that we're facing those same escalations. So, you know, paying our fire, police, HR, public works, paying for the asphalt and concrete for the streets and the gas that goes in the vehicles, it all escalates. So it's a balance of how do we continue to provide the services we do when everybody else is facing these economic challenges too. And you know, as has been discussed, we're limited by the state. So it doesn't take anybody with an engineering degree to say, if you have a 10% inflation and one of your main sources of revenue is capped at 3.5%, you just don't have the money to spend on your services as you did before. And most of our money, 80% or so of our budget, goes towards our people, and half of that being police and fire, and the biggest chunk after that, public works, and then some parks and down the road. So it is a challenge, and it's something that I think the best thing we can do, other than laying out the plan, is just try to get information out to everyone so that everybody understands the choices they're making. And then whatever choices the council makes, we just try and do our best to make it work.
You met Brian Woods, the city manager of College Station here. And we'll hear plenty more about the cap and how all that works out in Austin as the legislature gets started. You know, you mentioned police and fire. City of Bryan just came to an agreement with their firefighters in a situation that there were some hurt feelings out there. There's no doubt. Explain, if you would, to listeners how the situation that Brian's relationship with their fire department is, and how it is in College Station, and how they might be different.
Yeah, they operate under a different system where they're meet and confer, and we're not. The state law allows police and fire to have associations and then speak directly to council members and do things politically, whereas other city employees can't partake in political activity. So it's a little different for public safety overall. I mean, the way I look at it is we have a police association, a fire association. I spent a few hours with our fire association the other day. I mean, there are firefighters and paramedics. The police are our police. And so they do, you know, outside of obviously what kind of got to the forefront in this community, which is some of that negotiation piece and the way it works in Bryan, is, you know, our guys are out there doing, a lot of stuff in the community. They're building the camaraderie amongst our departments, which is critical to keeping our people here. So I hope we have a good relationship with them. It's always challenging, and not just with the ones that have associations, but employees who say, hey, you know, these other places can pay more. And, you know, what are we doing? And then we have to make sure it's clear that, you know, we also have to work within the resources we have, and, you know, that it comes from the taxpayers. So it's a challenge. And again, I would say the same thing. My relationship with them as a city manager, I feel responsible for everyone in the organization and doing the best I can to get the services that the community wants. But in a resource constrained environment, especially with the inflation we've seen and the competition in the market, it's hard. And I know anytime you're in these tough situations, it just presses all of us, everyone trying to do the right thing, into difficult conversations. And I'm really glad that in Brian's case, hopefully they came to, you know, an agreement and can kind of move forward. And but I will say, just from me, I'm appreciative of the relationship that I have with all of our employees and the council, that I think we have a very open dialogue, and that's really the best you can do, is be out there.
So let's talk about The View. Brian, much like College Station, lots of new faces on their city council as well. And so Keene Register is going to have the same situation you do. You're working with new people, but now talk about the relationship between the two cities as we have these two new councils.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, it's always exciting, and I mean, I've mentioned it before. Keene and I have a great relationship, and I mean, he's been here and been doing it for a long time, and is always been very gracious with me, and have a lot of respect for the way they do things. I think the thing I always say is, as we work together, both in the community and then as different organizations, it's important to know that we are different organizations, and so we just do things differently. And sometimes we do things together contractually, and sometimes we do things separately, but I hope it's always cooperative.
Okay. Now, some of those things have split apart and recently, and so a little background on what you were agreeing with and doing together that you're not now.
Yeah, so different things. You know, we used to do our tourism together, and we split that up, and then recently we've changed the way we do we're working on our fire and EMS response. And I think what I would say is, we're always trying to look at how do we best deliver services in the community. And with the tourism one as an example, I think we're spending more money now on tourism and seeing a better result on both sides than we were. So in other areas like the library, we have a combined system, and I don't know that it will always be combined, forever. It obviously wasn't at one point, but I think what you're always looking at is what's the best way to deliver the services. And because we do have two different constituencies and elected bodies, or are they in alignment? And if it aligns to where you can do that within one contractual relationship, then great. And if not, I don't think that lowers the expectation of cooperation.
Brian Woods, city manager here this morning. One of the many things that you partner with, and Brian and other entities, is the Brazos Valley Economic Development Council. They're kind of in a state of flux right now. How does that change the way that you address this?
Yeah, well, I think that's something that, especially with the city, the county, and Texas A&M, we do a lot of we have a lot of discussion about. I think it's good. I mean, I wouldn't say you necessarily want flux, but as we have new councils and new leadership coming in, and have had new leadership at A&M that's taken a huge interest in that, I'm excited about that. I mean, I think it's just part of having really, to me, successful entities and a successful community. And there's always going to be some competition, but that's good. That drives things. And what's important is that we're all establishing kind of, here's how we're going to do things. And we're going to play by a certain set of rules that we know gives everybody a fair opportunity and benefits the community. And we've done a lot of that just within the organizations and back and forth. But I think we have an opportunity now to say, okay, so we've done some things that have worked, and we've seen some challenges other places. How do we kind of move forward with a fresh slate and set it up so that we feel like we're going to be more successful? And ultimately, at some point, you'll have to come back and revisit it. These things are cyclical. They always are. You never set something in place, I don't care what it is, inside your own organization and say, okay, we fixed this for life and it'll be good. But what I always feel good about is, I think we've got people, that are engaged and want the best for the community. And if we're having discussions or arguments, it's because we want to get it right.
The other piece of this puzzle is A&M. As you mentioned, there's new leadership there, too. That has been very dynamic. We don't hear much from the A&M side of the equation, so I'd like to hear College Station's point of view in your relationship there.
I mean, I think it's, at least, and of course, I haven't been here that long going into my fifth year, but I think it's tremendous. And we continue to see them support us and support the community in ways they haven't. I think if you go through and look at Dr. Banks and Chancellor Sharp and what their kind of plan is for the university, they focus heavily on the value of the communities around them and how not only that, you know, just being altruistic, but how that's going to benefit them as an organization. And we see the same thing. I mean, you know, as A&M goes, College Station goes. So I think we're seeing cooperation at a level we haven't before. Not just, well, we're all here, so we have to talk to each other, but seeing where each entity can really bring something. And A&M is an aspect that communities, you know, five times our size don't have. So it brings value that, you know, is not easy to show necessarily on paper, but they're involved in lots of things and not just a, hey, here's what we're thinking, but really they're engaged. They're on our committees and not just our, you know, in Brazos County and Bryan and College Station, they're engaged in the decisions we're making. And so I think you're seeing a much more holistic approach to the community, and A&M's the leader in that. They're the sun that we all rotate around, and I think they're really taking that role on.
Finally today, though, if you haven't been to Northgate lately, the density there is mind-boggling, and it's just going to continue. So how do you – I know in our wildest dreams we never thought we would see anything like that kind of density. How does the city prepare itself for that and move forward as best it can?
Well, and I will say I want to give a lot of credit to people in both cities for working through some of the challenges that presents, but and also on our side, especially for – forecasting it from an infrastructure perspective. So you're correct. It's the most densely populated area in seven counties and also has the highest property tax revenue. So we've seen some really positive things from that. And obviously its proximity to A&M is great for the university, provides a housing component. We're working with A&M on how to improve that connection, you know, both physically and just, you know, as the students go. I think what we realized and what we also are working on is, all right, so as this changes, how does that change the services we need to provide and make sure that we're, you know, not just maintaining, you know, a safe place to be and a place that we can function in, but, you know, it's a tremendous opportunity. There are not many 100,000 plus person cities that can say we have, you know, a downtown like environment with high rises and more to come. So it's not just, well, okay, how do we make sure everything is okay? It's how do we capitalize this and not just for us, but you know, that's right on the line with Bryan, and you're going to see it continue to develop, and you've seen them make investments over there just like we have. So that Northgate area and the University Corridor is absolutely critical. That's why we have it on our planning, you know, our smaller area plans. That's why you hear us talking about it all the time. And you'll see a ton of engagement on that, I think, over the next few years, and we'll get some feedback from council. But we're in a good position. We've got a good position for infrastructure, so that can be a really good thing, I think, for us in the university.
Absolutely. Bryan Woods, thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you.
What else you got?
Just a reminder, city offices and facilities will be closed on Monday in observance of MLK Day, but solid waste and recycling collections will operate on their regular schedules.
That's it, huh?
That's it.
Okay. You didn't bring me any food this morning or anything like that. I mean, you're a nice guy and all that, but we were hoping you'd do that.
I'll do that next time.
Now, you're still on the stat table, aren't you, at the basketball games?
Yes.
Okay.
The good old timeout coordinator.
What does that mean?
T-O-C.
That's a question I've asked too.
so you're like the guy who you don't start until Colin raises his hand or lowers his hand.
That's
or
right.
Whatever.
Everybody's glaring at me when it's a long time out. Kind of like
you
a
go.
Long council meeting now. Everybody's looking at me like it's my fault.
We're united in the council.
Exactly.
That's holding a lot of power, Colin.
It is. That's true. Hey, we visit with the folks in the city of College Station. It's about 3 minutes still. I kind of ate up the time, but you know, we don't get the city manager in here very often. He gets
oh, yeah. You always like to talk to Mr. Woods for about 28 minutes. Yeah.
But look how much work you were able to get done.
Plenty of story content for me.
That's
yeah,
right.
Love it.
And, well, so what are you doing this weekend?
This weekend? Oh, so I'm super excited. My best friend Kendall is coming into town, and we are headed to Chapleton Vineyards.
What's
which
that?
Is a newer like winery vineyard place in Washington. So right out of Brenham.
Yeah.
Right outside of Brenham,
nice.
I should say. I've heard great things about it, and so we splurged and did a little VIP tour and tasting situation. So we're going to go check that out tomorrow, and I'm really looking forward to it because wine.
You going to do a book report?
Yeah, give book us a report. I will definitely give you a report on Monday.
Scott's
yes.
got a lot of questions.
I can't say it's going to be written out and okay. you know, double spaced,
you
but
you
I
don't
will
have to stand
yeah.
behind mm-hmm. the, in front of the class and do
yeah,
this.
I'll
kind
take
of thing.
Pictures yeah. too.
It's an interest. We've driven out there. It's kind of interesting. What about you?
I'm going to go to Tyler.
Oh,
yeah, we're
going to
go visit my parents this weekend.
All right.
So
everybody's well now, and you can do that again.
Yeah,
huh?
Everybody's well, and we got to drop the doggos off because.
Oh yeah, because y'all are going out of town.
Yeah,
that's
and
right.
My in-laws are going to be making the trip to Oregon as well. Because it's their son getting married,
sure.
So we can't necessarily leave the doggos with them. So we're taking them to Mom, Pa, Taylor's home for wayward people and pets.
So what's the what's the weather looking like up there? When do you leave?
Tuesday
okay,
morning.
Correct.
We're driving to Austin. Going to stay the night in Austin Monday night, but then we're flying up Tuesday morning.
Oh, it's you just think you're flying out in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, here goes
here
Scott.
He goes.
Yep, here he
I was
goes. Oh, you're traveling? Good luck. Yeah.
I was almost going to say something because I felt bad
Pack
for
snacks.
Chelsea because I was like, man, he gives Chelsea such grief every time she goes anywhere,
mm-hmm.
and he hasn't mentioned anything about my trip
oh,
yet.
Oh, just
not
wait.
Yet.
Yeah.
No.
It's going to be cold.
Yeah.
I've got one coming up. I'm trying to put all that bad stuff out there.
Oh, yeah. Wait till I start talking about your trip.
I know.
Oh, boats don't even get me started.
Boats?
On boats. All the wrong things.
Zach
that can
knows all
on
about
a boat.
Boats.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
That's the other
You're gonna
thing.
You're going to zip line? You yes. sure you want to do that?
I don't know. I'm
at least
not sure yet.
At least you didn't pick hurricane season.
Well, that's true. Anyway, yeah, we'll see. The whole zip line thing, yeah, that's still
it's
up
fun.
In the air, but
it's
it
fun.
It sounds intriguing.
And sometimes you can flip upside down.
No, yeah, that sounds cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, anyway, it's going to be about 60 degrees today.
What are you doing this weekend? Real quick.
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
I think it's all right. Yeah, just
good
gonna,
on you.
Yeah, I'm gonna burn some stuff because
yeah.
I like doing that.
You
yeah.
like doing that, yeah.
Exactly.
Mainly
all right.
Stuff.
We're back on Monday, a Bryan Broadcasting Station, WTAW, College Station Bryan.